I'm Michael. I am a grateful believer in Jesus, and I struggle with selfishness and fear. I used to ease that down with a lot of marijuana and other weird stuff. Anyway, I'll just try to get into this. I think I got a whole bunch to share with you. Are you ready for that? I got some good stuff, man. I got pictures. Well, you know, we've been talking about inventory, right? And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but for me, inventory is inventory. It's kind of really about baggage and stuff. And, it's good. But, you know, I thought I'd talk about barns. Anybody want barns? Is anybody good on barns? Annie, can we hear about barns tonight? I'd like to welcome Jim and Annie Dawson. They're here, our state reps.
All right.
Woo! Hard working gal, she is. Yeah. We've got Malala here. We got As Is CR out in Southeast Portland. We got a few CRs here tonight, man. Isn't that cool? What's going on? Anyway, I like barns. I've been thinking about barns. And I know there's a kind of analogy there, but, you know, even some of our great American statements are based around barns, aren't they? You know, like, hey, shut the door while you're born in a barn. You know? Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I always speak this way. I always go all the way around the barn. Oh, yeah, honey, that's a real barn burner there. Well, that'll go over good. You know, baseball, American sport, it's right there. Hey, you can't hit the broad side of a barn. Hey, buddy, barn door's open. Anyway, it's fun. That's fun. I thought it's good to laugh when we're talking about inventory because sometimes that can be painful. And so it's good to laugh. It's good to make it an easy thing if it's possible. Let's look at some more barns. Woo! Who wants to live there? Let's go skiing. That's a nice one. I'll take that one. And I like this one here because I can ski off the mountains and then go feed the cattle and then I can go back up and ski some more. There's a peekaboo. That's a peekaboo barn there. Yeah. This one's a bright barn. He thinks he's smart. He's all of that, man. I'm all of that one. Aren't those cool? This is my kind of barn. See, it's like, you know, it's like us. We're in progress. This one needs a little paint. Needs a little healing there. That's a lonely little guy. That's cool, though. I like it. And then they're not, you know, if you want to go around the barn, this is the one to choose right here. This is it. Yeah, I like this one. Good old New England barn, four stories. I'd be playing up above, jumping out of the window into the hay. That's a good one. Yeah. That's a barn, yeah. You got any more there, Ted? Are we stuck? That's it? That was all. You must have been playing those when I wasn't looking. You guys got the good barns. I like them. You know, I like the big window ones because, like, when you're going around the barn, you can look in and see what's going on, you know. Anyway, that's enough about barns. That's my barn thing. Did you like that? Yeah. We're supposed to be looking like that in Saturday, so. Anyway, you know, kind of like, you know, the point is that, you know, like barns, you know, our stories are all different, you know, and although we got a lot of likenesses and the same things and traits sometimes and two arms and two legs and maybe not sometimes, but, you know, we also have different stories and we differ. And when it comes to our inventory, we can struggle with that. So at that point right now, what I want to do is, because I know I haven't got my notes, so I want to point this out. The first lesson we went into that supported inventory was sponsor. And if you're really about to do your inventory, and you are doing it, if you haven't got a sponsor, I would strongly suggest that you ask around for one, ask a few people that have been around for a while, and see if you can get yourself connected to one, because you don't really want to do your inventory without one. And then at the same time, you want to make sure you have a good, healthy support group of accountability partners. I mean, that's how the church functions. We're just the church here, and that's how the church functions. It functions by establishing yourself with other believers and just tossing it back and forth and seeing how it's going, you know, and relating your story one to another. But we need to have a sponsor. That's how this whole started out, you know, in our principles, that we have a sponsor to help us through it. A pastor, you know, we really need that. And we need to keep it gender specific, right? That's how we do it here. That's how we roll here at CR. Anyway, let's go over the principle four here, because that's where we're at in step four. Let's read it together. Openly examine, confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Happy are the pure in heart, Matthew 5:8. Step four. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Lamentations 3:40. So, you know, we have been through, this is the third lesson, basically, on inventory, and we're trying to cover that, how the idea and the function of an inventory happens. Daniel did a really great job, as Daniel does with his teachings, and he took us through the columns. I don't think I have a picture of that, but if you remember it, you got a sheet of paper, you know, with lesson, I think it was 9, and it had the columns here. And for me, I don't know about you, but for me, this was hard. I couldn't get it at first. And I couldn't figure out the person sometimes, the cause, the effect, the damage, my part. In fact, my part was really hard. But we did go over this column. And I'm telling you right now, this is a good thing and reason to have a sponsor, because they can help you get through this. They can help you navigate this. And so that's what we first covered in inventory. And Jen covered it a couple weeks ago. She covered the part one of this lesson, spiritual inventory, and she did a great job, and she has a viewpoint quite like mine. I feel like it's like this lesson should have been first, hers should have been second, and then we should have went through this to apply all that we learned through the spiritual inventory and how to put it down on this. But actually, I think they know what they're doing, and this is fine. And David liked that. And anyway, so what we're going to do tonight is the second part of spiritual inventory. And you know, but I just want to stress the point that it can be hard, you know. And walk this through with somebody. I also want to point out, and I want to read, if I can, the special insert in inventory, in just the inventory. Please note, if you have been in an abusive relationship, especially as a small child, you can find great freedom in this part of the inventory. You see, you had no part, no responsibility for the cause of the resentment. By simply writing the words none or not guilty in that column and continually remembering that through this whole process, you can begin to be free from the misplacement and the misplaced shame and guilt you have carried with you. Celebrate Recovery has rewritten step four for those who have been sexually or physically abused. And it goes, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, realizing all wrongs can be forgiven, renounce the lie that the abuse was our fault or your fault. So, although you carry that and you need to deal with that, you also need to be able to go into this list and be honest and really in prayer seek out those things that are your part and the things that you can take care of. So, as Jen had last time, she had four categories that they work from to help you bring things to the surface, which were relationship with others, priorities in your life, your attitude, and your integrity. And by looking at those and studying those in your life, you could bring out some things that might help you get some stuff down into paper. And like that, today we're going to go over four more areas that will help us draw out some of the things that we need to get down on the paper. Let's go over the first verse it has for us here. And I want to read it. It'll be up here, but I'm going to go ahead and read it out of the NSAB, New American Standard. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." That's Psalms 139, 23-24. So the first thing to fill in the first line there is your mind. And so I'm going to go through these, and when we're doing these lists, I want to go ahead and just give you some time to think about it and to write a few ideas down. And I'm just going to read some compelling questions, some questions that might draw some things out or some thoughts out. Again, if you can take this to your sponsor, this might be a real good tool to help you complete your inventory. So with your mind, have you guarded your mind in the past by denying things? Have you denied something? Have you lied or covered something up? Have you chosen destructive or constructive thoughts, positive or negative? And remember that when we're doing these lists, it's always good to, when you're ever doing any list in Celebrate Recovery, when you're writing down some of the negative things, we always need to make sure we're writing down some positive things. But with your mind, have you done some of these things? Have you covered things up? With me, my anger distorted my outlook and my thought process in life. By being angry, I could take the real focus off what was the real problem, that I was weak and I was hurt and I was wounded, and so I barked really loud. A second question here: have you filled your mind with hurtful and unhealthy movies, internet sites, magazines, and books? Because you know that when you get garbage in, you're going to get garbage out. And you know, these things, as I've learned all my life, they leave a real imprint in our heart and our soul and in our mind. And so that's a real good thing to want to be able to deal with and get it down on your paper and begin to work with that. For me, marijuana, inappropriate sex, and partying wreaked real havoc on my mind. You know, it really dislodged. Because I did it for years. I was a very unresponsible person, very immature, and so I never developed in my mind really healthy patterns. So there are some things that happen in your mind, some habits and hang-ups and stuff that really can cause some dysfunction, even some mental illness. For me, I just call it mental illness. The scripture to support this is, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." And that's Romans 12:2. The next line is, your body. I'll read the scripture that supports this. "Haven't you yet learned that your body is the home of the Holy Spirit God gave you, and that He lives within you? Your own body does not belong to you, for God has bought you with a great price. So use every part of your body to give glory back to God, because He owns it, your body." That's 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. So with that in mind, in what ways have you mistreated your body? And simply just give it some thought and just write a few things down. Have you abused alcohol, drugs, food, sex? I smoked so much pot, you know, it just about drove me nuts. I would black out driving, and I really couldn't think straight. It was amazing. You know, and God's hand was on me. I can remember, what was the last 2 miles? You know, it's crazy, you know. My thinking process was distorted. And even when I went through the withdrawals of quitting it, 6 months before I stopped sweating. And I mean, it was, you know, people say, well, it's a mild thing. No, it's not. The withdrawals are very heavy. And I couldn't get my straight thinking back for about 6 months. And it really took me about 2 years before I could really have good cognitive thinking and organizational skills. Not that I'm great at it now, but, you know. I ate bad foods. I smoked more cigarettes when I used it. And if that didn't work, I always went to some tequila. And always trying to avoid the real hurt and the pain in my life. That's why I did those things. It was the underlying thing. My fear and my selfishness. So this is just some things. These are areas. These are four areas where you can go in if you're having some problems and you can dig out some things that you can write down. The things that they are, maybe people that were associating with it. Like, for instance, the next line, your family. Have you mistreated anyone in your family? Perhaps you have physically or emotionally done so. Emotional abuse does not have to take the form of raging, yelling, and screaming. You can tear down a child or a spouse by just working on their self-esteem. You can also be unavailable for them. That's abuse. Against whom in your family do you have resentment? You have bad feelings for. It can be. In fact, there's a lot of great family history where a sin or a whole problem can go generational, a generational sin that can be in a family. Is this mic going on and off? Is that okay? Can you guys handle that? So it's good to be aware that you might be carrying a generational sin that's been in your family for a long time. And it's even in a proverb that that cycle can be broken, you know. And in fact, Jesus even talked about the fact that he could stop that generational sin, you know. That can happen with anybody. It can start with you and your family. So it's definitely look at that family thing and it takes some guts because some people really are even protecting those people in your family system. So it's good to take a look at that. To whom do you owe amends in your family? That's a good question to ask. It'll maybe reposition the idea of if you have resentment, maybe there's people that actually you owe an amends to. These are questions that can help stimulate what you can get on your list. Now, we're looking now just to identify these things and to write them down. You want to become willing to be able to deal with them. You're going to do the amends later in Principle 6. When we get to that, it's actually about four lessons from now. So right now, we want you just to get to be familiar with what it is that's on your heart. Put it down on paper and begin to be willing to willing to deal with it. What is the family secret that you have been denying? And that really could be, you know, it's like the big pink elephant in the living room, you know, all the time. Maybe it's somebody's drinking in your family. Maybe you're realizing that your family's really dysfunctional or something and just never talked about. You know, I don't know, but there can be these deep, dark family secrets. And again, that can be a big generational thing. So it's good to confront that. It's good to get that down and be able to pray for that. A supportive scripture is, but if you are willing to obey the Lord, then decide today whom you will obey. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. The next one for me is a really hard one because of how the lesson goes. The lesson is very supportive of the church. And the last line there to fill in is your church. And some of the first questions that's posed through this lesson are, have you been faithful to your church in the past? Have you neglected responsibility there? Have you neglected people there? Have you not been thankful for what the church has done? Have you been critical of the church in the past? Have you discouraged your family's support of the church? Have you been bitter towards other people who have been in church and you're away from it? I can say absolutely amen to every one of those. Four for me is that, have you been hurt, wronged, or abused by someone in the church? And that's an add-on for me, because for me, if you heard my testimony, I had three of authority different figures that really I could not trust anymore, and they were the government, the police, teachers, and the church, and the leaders in the church, because of some pretty horrific sin when I was young. So it's something to look at, because the church, you know, it's our full support. If, you know, we're not supposed to neglect that, and it's, and the support of Scripture for that is, let us not neglect our church meetings, as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of His coming back is drawing near. And for me, His drawing near is every day, every morning, one day at a time, right? I do look and hope for that day when maybe we'll get that big lift up in the sky. But until then, we live in for today, you know, and just for today. It's good, you know, because His drawing near can happen today. And there's not a better way than to support and be in a fellowship in the church. You know, it's been really driven hard for me. When I first came back into fellowship in this place about 11 years ago, I did not want to come through the doors. You know, I'd been dry, bone dry from pot, any kind of sexual sin, adultery, that was all gone. I just was just bone dry, and I knew I needed to come back into fellowship. But I had so much pain that I had got in my heart and I was suffering from, that I just couldn't. But I knew I needed to go back. And I promised the Lord that I would come in that back room back there and sit down, but I asked Him for your help. I need your help. And He has. He's been with me the whole time here. It's been hard. There's been some real challenges here. and I've had to stand in the church and just really second-guess it a lot. But the Lord's been very faithful. And I've learned how to love my pastors here. I've learned how to understand them and their needs, and I've developed a love for them. I've developed a love for all of you, my brothers. I love going skiing with one of them. And I love fellowship in other places, and I just love being with you guys, you know. It's good. Even when I'm irritated, I know I need to love you, because I'm admonished in the epistles of John that's what we need to do. Because I find out the hard way that if we don't do that, if we do not love our brothers in the Lord, it's going to put us in a really bad place, you know. So no matter what we're doing and where we're at, we need to love our brothers. We need to love our leaders, our pastors, our elders. We really do. And we need to really trust the process. So basically, that's the four things I got to share you about the spiritual inventory. And it really is basically the last presentation of writing your testimony. And I would really, really again urge you to just put some thought into this. And again, we do things by one moment at a time, one day at a time, and if you can only get one thing on your list, that's good. You know, if you can get a bunch on there and get a whole bunch of lists and then pick and go through that and spend a lot of time, that's good. But if you can just get one thing on your list, that is important. Follow through with that. Work that with your sponsor. And deal with that. And then you know what? You've gone through a 12-step, and you've been successful at that. Then go ahead and do that again. We're not just finished with one-step program. We need to do a couple of those. This is a life process. Sanctification, that's what recovery is a life process. Celebrate recovery. Recovery is sanctification. Sanctification is recovery. And it's a life process, one day at a time. Far out, right? Cool, man.